Hi, this is Chuck Wolf, and we're talking with Kathy McAfee, America's Marketing Motivator. Kathy's a national speaker and executive presentation coach. Kathy motivates and equips business professionals and entrepreneurs to become the recognized leader in their field by advancing their presenting, networking, and personal marketing skills. Kathy's going to be talking to us about a book that she wrote called Networking Ahead for Business. I don't know about you, but if you've ever been faced with the challenge of networking, you've probably thought twice or three or four times, or just maybe never did it, because it feels so uncomfortable for so many of us to actually make a phone call and to begin the process of networking. Well, Kathy's written a book that will help anybody and everybody, even if you're good at it, to know some things about how to do it better, what makes it work, how to stay in touch, things that you might talk about, and ultimately, how to overcome any obstacles, including shyness, that might be in your way. So, Kathy, welcome to our show, and can you tell us a little bit about your book and your work with networking?
Thank you. Thank you, Chuck. And I'm thinking back, we met in networking several years ago. I remember sitting down at our local cafe and having a cup of coffee with you and getting to know each other and our specialty and our businesses. And I know that was a number of years ago, and we've stayed in touch through various ways. So it's ironic that we met in networking and here we are today. But this book, Networking Ahead for Business, is all about helping business professionals, small business owners, corporate professionals, or anyone who wants to get anything done in the world, to get it done through people and relationships. That is what networking is. It's building mutually beneficial relationships. What I want to help you with is to build them before you need them, to kind of get it done and keep it going so that should something shift in your life, that there are people there who care about you, who know you, who will be there in your hour of need.
A lot of people procrastinate around many different things, and networking might be one of those issues where if you're fully employed, you don't feel particularly threatened. They might do just what you say, which is not do it when they need to be doing it. So it's going to be interesting to hear, how do you motivate yourself to get out and start networking when perhaps things feel comfortable for you?
Right, and that is exactly what it needs. It needs a nice nudge, a little kick in the pants. You got to motivate yourself. You have to make time for it. And actually, back to your point of, you know, for those of you who are fully employed, gainfully employed, and things are going well for you, good for you, you are in the best position to be networking. Why? Because you're in the best position to help other people. You have the most resources and connections. And it will also be very good for you. So it's not just something you do when you're in between jobs or even trying to get another job. It is a lifetime skill. But back to your original question, you've got to get out of your comfort zone and make time for it. And for those people who are introverted or shy, it's a little bit more difficult, but can be done. And it's just having conversations over the phone. It's sitting down and having coffee. It's making time to meet with people. And I will tell you that if you do that, you will change your emotional state for the better.
That's interesting. One of the things I remember reading in your book was the example of, okay, so you were gainfully employed, and now you're not. And you pick up that phone and you call this person that had called you when they were laid off but who are very successful today, and you tell them, gee, I'm really sorry I didn't return your phone call before when you called me, but now I'm laid off, so I thought I'd call you. And that's got to be incredibly uncomfortable.
It's uncomfortable, but I say you got to make that call. Your livelihood depends on it. And we've all been in that spot. We've all dropped the ball and discontinued relationships or neglected things. But you can pick it up any time. That is the beautiful thing about networking. And there's this thing called forgiveness. People will forgive you because it's a human thing to do. And if you can, if you've been one of those people that have abandoned their network for a period of time, the best thing you can do for yourself is to start helping others first. Make your first question, what's going on in your life and how can I help you, versus what can you do for me?
Very interesting. I know from my own experience, any time that I've ever been involved with sales of any kind, I always found that if I started off just talking about what I was trying to sell, that people would become distracted quickly and feel as though the meeting needed to end in a fairly short time. If I start off the meeting by asking about another person and their life and finding out and really sincerely being interested in their life, then all of a sudden the watch and the clock and the issues of time seem to disappear, because people who think and believe that you're interested in them, and I think that's your point, will find it much more comfortable to be also interested in you.
Absolutely. It's that relationship. It's those connections. It's caring about another person, not just transacting with another person. So if you lead with, will you buy something for me? Will you hire me? You're going to shortchange that relationship. As I say, it smells like a sales pitch, and people will put an invisible arm's distance between you. If you can take the time to check in with them and get to know them as a human being, find your connection points, not just in the work world, you will start to have more interesting networking meetings and develop more rapid, richer, deeper relationships. And then you can do business together. That comes next.
So how does it begin? So let's assume that we have people that are listening, and I'm sure that the people that are home today that might have the radio on are sometimes people who, you know, don't have a lot going on right now, and perhaps you are a very busy person and you just happen to turn the radio on, or maybe you're someone who has been unemployed for a period of time. I know that one of the things that happens to people when they haven't had a job for a period of time and they've tried really hard, is they get depressed and their self-esteem suffers some. And how do you re-motivate yourself and build your own self-esteem when you feel as though work is caught up in part of how you define yourself?
Right. Well, I think there's some strategic things you can do and then just some very tactical. I would encourage people who've been in the position you just described just to absolutely get out there, start meeting with people once a day for the sheer sake of just lifting yourself up, to build energy with other people. Even if you're an introvert, you can do this one-on-one. So get out of the house is mission number one. And then two is a little more strategic, is start to take stock of who is in your network. Who do you know and who knows you? And we have those top-of-mind relationships, but there are hundreds others that we have forgotten about. So there's an exercise I have developed. I call it the My World exercise. And it asks you to think about your different worlds, my work world, my volunteer world, my religious world, my exercise world, my Boy Scout world, my college world, all the different places and spaces you've developed relationships, and start to list all those people that you know in those worlds. And you will start to find that you've got a list of 100, 200, 250 people, whether it's family members, friends, colleagues, you know, workout buddies. All these people are in your sphere of influence. So then the next question, Chuck, is what's the strategy and the process to reconnect with them, to reach out to them, to ask how you could help them, to ask how they could help you? Now, can you do 250 at once? No, but you've got 250, you know, more than 250 days in a year. So you can start to build these existing relationships. And then guess what? These relationships lead to new connections, people that naturally your friends are going to want to set you up with, and that you'll reach out, talk to a stranger, add them to your network, and pretty much your list of 200 grows to 300 and 400, and you suddenly know more people. And with more people that you know and that know you, you can get more done in the world.
It's interesting. You model this well, because when I did see you at the conference the other day, one of the people you introduced me to is probably somebody I'm going to have on at another time on my radio show. So that little bit of introduction on your part just to try and help me out, because you knew somebody that might be a good interview for my radio show, it seems like you just do this on automatic.
Okay, so here's a technique. Even though I am an extrovert, I have my moments of heightened introversion panic. So I can walk into a big room and suddenly get very shy. And I have found a technique that works beautifully. So listen up, you introverts or people that experience this. Whenever you go into a group setting, you want to pretend like you're the host. You want to act the part of the host or the co-host. So things like, can I take your coat? Or welcome to the party? Or what brought you here? You are the surrogate greeter. And you welcome people into the meeting. You now have a role. You have a purpose. You're helping out. You are more comfortable. You're engaged with different people. And I have found this just to be really easy, and maybe it's a game you play with yourself, but it's functional and it works. So I was just at a Seroptimist meeting last week, and again, I know all these women, and you'd think that I would do really well, but I had that moment of shyness, and I just greeted them at the door. I took their coat, I walked the coat back, I introduced them to other people, and then I went on to greet the next guest as if it was my house and I was running the show. And I added energy to the meeting, I added energy to myself, I met some new people, I made other people feel better about being there. It was highly effective for them as well as me. So, you know, with the holidays, like you're going to have some parties, maybe you might be invited to a neighbor's house, try it out. Try it out in a low-risk environment and just see how it feels and what it does for you. It'll get the conversations going.
Yeah, that's really interesting because I've had a few people in my life actually act that part when I've gone to a meeting where I didn't know a lot of people. And they knew that I didn't, and they weren't the host necessarily, but they acted like that with me, and it was like, and they became very, very special to me because of that. Actually,
right?
It's interesting.
In fact, the fact I introduced you to that person that we spoke of has brought us closer together, and I have created value in your life, and I was able to position you. See, actually, that's another wonderful thing. You don't have to talk about yourself. You don't have to brag about yourself. You could actually brag about other people. That's fun.
That's very interesting. Yeah, no, that's great. That's a very helpful technique. You want to tell us a little bit about what people might learn by reading your book, Kathy?
Well, it is it's a fun, playful book. It's an easy read. It's filled with tons of stories, so it's not a big textbook. So anybody can really benefit from it. Again, it's called Networking Ahead for Business, and I have written it with the road theme, the driving theme, something we're all familiar with. But it's everything from, you know, identifying who's in your network to how to introduce yourself, what is your elevator pitch or your 30-second commercial, how to really make that work for you. Who's most important to you in your network? How do you stay in touch better? How do you get out of your own way and overcome your own roadblocks and phobias? One of my favorite lessons is the importance of your appearance. I call it road grime and door dings. People judge you by the way you show up and literally how your car is. And I've got a great difficult lesson that I experienced when my car was filthy dirty, and a very important person I was networking with offered to walk me to my car and put a box of books in my car, and I had to open my trunk in front of him, and I was aghast. I didn't know what was in that trunk and how filthy it was. So that's kind of a metaphor to, A, keep your car clean, go through that car wash, clean it up, but also to clean up your own physical personal appearance, to be aware of things of, are you wearing too much perfume? Are you dressed professionally? You know, especially if you've been out of work for a while, sometimes we get a little casual. You want to dress for success, even when you're meeting for networking situations. Not job interview, but, you know, put your best suit forward, if you will, your best face forward. So there's some practical, some tactical, and there's some very strategic techniques in here, all of which I've developed or are tried and true, and I have learned from them. There's also a section, Chuck, on social media. Social media, i.e. LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, all the kind of new fancy ways we stay in touch with each other, is actually incredibly powerful. And obviously young professionals and college students and high school students, this is their way. They know no other way. For us over 40, this is the new way, and we have to master it. And you'll find that once you get over the technophobia of it, it can be incredibly powerful for you. So I talk about the easiest first step, which is LinkedIn, getting your profile with a professional picture and your bio and starting to make connections and using that tool as a resource to stay in touch and to connect with people. Very, very powerful. So that's another part of the book that I talk about. And then for you mavens and motivated, experienced networkers, this book will still help you because I talk about some more advanced techniques, including how to leverage committee membership and board of directors and chamber memberships, how to network with people with greater money and influence than you do, how to Well, how to network and with both men and women and learn from each other, how to use events and activities to develop those relationships, how to do it for serious business development. So this is really a very full book, lots of techniques. I kind of packed in. I think I wrote it, Chuck, to be honest, thinking, if I got hit by a bus, at least I want to have a legacy, so let me get it all in writing. There's a lot of good, juicy material there.
Okay,
and
great.
I do want to mention also, Chuck, I do have a companion website called networkingahead.com. A lot of the resources, including the My World exercise spreadsheet, is there available for you free. And you can sign up to receive weekly networking tips. And every Monday morning, I'll send you an email that will give you something to do, something to stretch you from a networking point of view that week.
Now, that's great, Kathy. One of the things that I was thinking about as you were talking was, I teach a course on emotional intelligence and organizations at a university. And one of the things that I make a comment about in the very first meeting is to ask people to consider how they're dressed. Because how you dress, I mean, we often think about being emotionally intelligent as how well I get along with someone else, but you also communicate emotionally to other people by the way you dress.
Yeah, and all those nonverbal communication signals from posture to handshake to eye contact, all that communicates.
Right. And you also mentioned one other thing I thought I should expand upon a bit. I've heard this before, and I know what it is, but my guess is some listeners don't. When you talk about an elevator speech, you want to say a little more about what you mean by that?
Well, an elevator pitch or 30-second commercial or networking introduction, they're all synonymous. It is that little brief time you have to introduce yourself. And as I like to say, to get the conversation going. It's how you position yourself. And I think the history of the term elevator pitch comes, you get in at the first floor with a key person, the door's shut. You have a captive audience for 10 floors, which might be 30 seconds. What are you going to say? How can you get their attention? And that's all the time you have. So you'll find that you'll have to give that brief introduction, certainly at Chamber of Commerce meetings or Rotary meetings. They'll say, please stand and introduce yourself. What are you going to say? So you have to prepare what you're going to say in advance, and you have to be able to deliver it confidently so that you attract people to you, not everybody, but the right people to you. So I like to think that an effective elevator pitch will get someone else to say, tell me more. That's interesting. How do you do that? It's a conversation starter, not a deal closer. So you want to say something that's memorable, that is relatable to somebody else, that's believable, authentic, engaging, and gets them to ask, that basically gets them to give you permission to talk more. So that's how I think about an elevator pitch. And once you have yours down, you can still experiment with it and change it in the situation, but you don't have to panic and go blank and worry about what you're going to say. You've practiced it. You know what you're all about, and, you know, when asked, you can deliver it.
Well, that's all very helpful, and I think the key, again, because our focus for our show is emotions, I think when you're done talking with somebody with a short introduction, what you're hoping for were a couple of emotional words you used, that they were interested, engaged, and this isn't emotional, but that they want more somehow, and that they would like you to talk with them more, and perhaps sometimes it leads to an appointment of some kind where you can explore and expand on what you were talking about with them.
When you mentioned emotions, one of the key things you want to generate is this rapport and a connection. There's some connection that I have to you and you have to me. We're on the same emotional wavelength. That, if you can achieve that, you've got the beginnings of an effective, wonderful networking relationship.
Well, Kathy, it's been extremely helpful to have you on. I'm hoping that the people listening today are getting some wonderful ideas about how to network. And in having Kathy with us today, I'm hoping to help you feel better about your possibilities. Because as we talk about here, when you take the wheel and control how you feel, you are in charge of your own destiny. And I think Kathy's given us a lot of wonderful ideas about how to be more effective as a networker. Thank you very much, Kathy.
Thank you, Chuck.